Welcome to the Frequency 49 show, sliding back into the hosting seat after a two-year hiatus. I am Kat Victorino. Joining me today are Michael Wandy, James Little, Graham Ross, and Deepak Gohil. Hello, gentlemen.
Evening. Good evening, everyone.
Evening, Kat.
Moin aus Deutschland.
So here we are. We have survived the divisional game. The Niners came off winning 24-21 in, I don't know, guys. Talk to me about this game because I was basically nauseous the whole time.
Never in doubt, was it, really?
You know what? The irony of this win for me is that offense, defense, special teams, all awful, failed, basically. But each and every single one of them produced a huge play when it mattered for us to win. So they were flat and dour the entire game. But when it came to it, massive play from the offense, massive play from the defense, Dre Greenlaw, and huge from the special teams where Moody actually made that kick from 52 yards, you know. Though they all made huge errors that could have compounded and allowed the game to get away, I think it shows you what a good team we are, where we can not show up against a very, very good opponent that's hot and still win, behind and win. So I think it was the punch on the nose that we needed, and we got it.
Well, and it doesn't have to be pretty to be a win. I mean,
I mean, I would have liked it to have been a bit more pressy. Typical, isn't it? Just heart attack football, heart attack football, that's what I call it.
Season in 2019, where literally every game for the last six games was just heart in mouth, because we dropped one and we weren't going to make it to the playoffs. And we were a wreck at the end of every game. They were all heart attack games.
And I find it funny, before the game, all the Purdy critics where he can't win a game from behind, he can't win without Debo. Now he won a game from behind without Debo, and they only focus on this 50 minutes before the last drive, and that's so ridiculous.
Yeah, they're going to have to find a new narrative to hate on him, because he's kicking off everything on the checkbox, isn't he? Yep, I can come from behind, I can do this, I can do that. I think it's awful, especially today. It's like the football media have really turned on him. And here's the thing. If he has a decent game on Sunday, which I'm convinced he will, all of this will be forgotten. Oh, yeah, never in doubt. Of course he's an MVP candidate. Oh, yeah, he's such a great quarterback, blah, blah. All of this that they've been spouting today would have just been, poof, oh, did we say that? Oh, we probably didn't mean it, you know. But I think the media's been extremely unfair on him.
Yeah, because like the thing with the media is that they'll probably bear grudges the longest, because ultimately they were completely and utterly wrong about Birdie, and so was, and let's be honest, so was the entire league. Yeah. You know, so he's come in, he's done great stuff, you know, and the narrative will be what it'll be, but you know. You can tell it wasn't his best day. He was. I mean, there was a couple of bad throws in there on Saturday night, but there was also a couple of like, and this is what some people I don't think fully get. I've watched this game long enough now that you kind of like know where what's a bad throw and where the receiver and the quarterback weren't actually on the same page. And I think there was a couple of instances of that where Purdy threw the ball where he wanted to throw it, but the receiver wasn't there. Ooh. And, you know, that's not on him, you know? So it's a team game. There's more than one player, you know? There's more. And this narrative about that I hate about quarterbacks, or this quarterback's won that game or won that many Super Bowls or won this or won that. Well, no, he didn't do it alone. And, you know, he's just got to...
But Graham, it's almost written that if we win the Super Bowl, then they'll turn around and say, "Oh, but can you do it again, though?"
I can't wait to have that conversation, but let's just not have it now.
There was one scene in particular, not on the field, but on the sidelines. I never saw Brock Purdy shouting with his receivers, and in this situation, he was shouting with Ayuk and with the other receivers, and they bow down their head. They know they did something wrong, and that's what you need. You need a leader who can rip his wide receivers a new one from time to time, and he did that, and that showed me that he is the leader in the locker room. And sorry, he's not a showboat like Lamar Jackson, who ran into and everyone says, yeah, that's a real quarterback. No, that's a showboat. You know, I had problems with the other showboat we had with Colin Kaepernick, who had the same kind of game in the conference final in 2012, where he needed Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, and Frank Gore to save his ass. So every quarterback has that.
Such a good comparison.
I mean, if this was the Jimmy Garoppolo playoff win, it would be all he does is win.
Yeah. Feels great, baby. Feels great.
Yeah, that's all it would be, you know.
Still have that t-shirt. It's getting
And I said it before, Purdy is the first quarterback of the 49ers where, since I can remember, where almost every fan is behind the quarterback.
Yeah.
They were split with Kaepernick. They were split with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
They were split with the quarterbacks after Steve Young. And it's the first time the fans are defending their quarterback against other fan bases.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and I think a lot of it, speaking for the Bay Area, we like an underdog story, you know? So Brock being Mr. Irrelevant and becoming massively relevant is huge. You know, we love that. We eat that stuff up. So, yeah.
Well, what about the rest of America? Because they don't seem to be jumping on it at all. It's really disappointing. It's honestly, it's winding me up, though. For typical British saying, it's really winding me up because we're the team that's left in the playoffs that are a team. The other two teams are two players or three players.
Although I must admit, Brock has some of the former players in his camp.
Gronkowski,
every time he defends him, Richard Sherman, of course, and Emmanuel Acho, he defends Brock every time. But then you have that guy who played for Green Bay who ripped Brock a new one and said the better quarterback lost the better quarterback through two interceptions. Sorry. Yeah.
Ryan How Clark, does that make you a better quarterback? The Packers guy.
I think it's a bit harsh. I don't think America sort of hates us. They don't. Because the Detroit Lions is a bit of a Cinderella story. And I hate that we have to be the bad guys. Mm. But I think if you look at Brock Purdy, he's not controversial. He's not outspoken. He doesn't dress like a lunatic on drugs before the match. You know, he's a normal bloke. You know,
that's George Kittle's job.
Yeah, but I mean, he's very, very vanilla. If you get a sense of what I'm saying, he's not a guy that causes controversy because of his off the field antics. He's one that's really difficult to dislike because he's been very humble about winning. He's never bragged about his achievements. I think America does actually appreciate him. And I think, you know, should we be playing Kansas City or even Baltimore in the Super Bowl, I think we'd be America's team then because of that particular storyline. I think that would win over a lot of neutrals. They'd want that kid to win it from being Mr. Irrelevant to being a Super Bowl champion in his second full season.
Can we Let's have that discussion when we get there. Sorry, I hate it. We've got a game on.
I know.
On Sunday. That is still very much. I mean, like I remember the Lions as being absolutely crap. I was going to swear.
Oh yeah.
You know, for years and years and years, even when they had the
Barry Sanders.
One of the greatest running backs of all time, Barry Sanders, mm-hmm. and you know, but you've got to, for me, you've got to give hats off to Dan Campbell and what he's done with that team. I think he's kind of, I think, all the new head coaches that have been appointed this year, they want to follow what the 49ers done and what Detroit have done and turn their organizations around over the 2-3 years to make them contenders. Because it is, I think that's a big step, particularly in that city, because the amount of people that have gone through there and tried that and failed.
And failed miserably for a very long time.
So I think just one step at a time, Dip, in we have this conversation.
It's easy to get wrapped up in the what ifs and
to
get forward.
It's so close. There's two games, but there's two to go.
Can't look past.
I will defer to the last time we played Detroit in a game that was everyone was talking about. And that was when Harbaugh was coach, and it was going to be. Oh. I think both teams were 4-0 or 5-0, and one of them was going to lose that day. And it was when Harbaugh and Jim Schwartzer sort of went for it at the end of the game. When we won that.
Yeah, remember that.
I think that, but that was the last time we played them in a game that mattered. And I think we were away. We weren't playing at home that game.
We were in Detroit. We were
the away game. But, you know, they are a historic franchise in this league. No one hates them because no one's had to play them in any game that really matters. So they don't have any enemies outside of their own division either. And, as you said, Graham, they're a very well-coached side, and they're there on merit. I think any team that's left standing now is on merit. They're not there for any other reason, despite the Chiefs always getting a little helping hand from here and there. But they are there on merit, and they deserve to be there. And it's going to be fun on Sunday.
Yeah, and especially the defense is very hard of Detroit. So Brock and co. really have to earn their money. And
what? Sorry, gosh,
technical difficulties there, you know, user error.
As I said, the defense is pretty hard, and in the offense, Goff is still Goff. He still makes his errors from time to time. But now he has Amon-Ra, who is very good, and Laporta to bail him out. And their running game. I mean, their running game, they are sixth in rushing offense, and we have the 26th in rushing defense. So that could be a long, long day. I don't trust our defense as long as the cornerbacks coach is in charge, because the cornerbacks and the safeties are somewhat improving under him, but the defense line is regressing under him, and he absolutely has no idea how to create pressure in the front seven. He is a defensive back coach, and you see that every time we play. Lenoir, for example, got much better under him, but the D-line is regressing under him. And some people said that's on Kukurek, but sorry, Kukurek doesn't make the game plan. It's Wilkes.
Go on, Dave.
Our pass rush has to be on point and settled. I don't think Bosa was well positioned or well aligned for a lot of the game on Sunday. But I think if we can get to Goff early, he doesn't like it when he gets rattled early in a game. We've played him before. It's not our first rodeo with this guy, being an ex-Ram player. Mm-hmm. I think if we can get to him and the pass rush is on point, which it wasn't that bad, but wasn't brilliant. But I think the offensive line needs to be ready too. But I think these are adjustments that are minor and can be done quite easily between now and game day. But I think the biggest enemy the 49ers have is not respecting their opponent. And I actually got a vibe that, you know, well, I've always felt that we're an ill-disciplined team, which was proved so many times by Ambry Thomas routinely making mistakes. Trent Williams pushing the guy over, that was a bit of a theatrical thing. And then right at the end with Dre Greenlaw, he could have fumbled that ball. And one of the players was going to tackle him. One of our own players was going to tackle him, saying, mate.
That would have been funny. That would have been absolutely funny.
It would have been 100% behind that.
I would have loved that. Actually, if that had happened. Get the
fuck out. Water just takes him out. What are you doing, Dre?
It goes to show that they're not coached properly if that's their first instinct, with so much on the line that they can bury the game.
Yeah.
But they want to pick six instead.
They were screaming at him from the sidelines. You could hear the audio. You could hear them on the sidelines shouting, down, down, down. And he said after the game, I mean, he blamed Fred Warner. He said to me, you told me I was going to get pick six, so I went for it. And then Fred at the podium burst out laughing.
That's a laugh and a joke, but that is very, very similar to the Jameis Winston thing at the end of the Saints Falcons game. Yeah, that is a player taking something, and Dip's absolutely right. You know, like the coaching of everything has got to be ahead, at the foremost of everything. The team. Yeah. I mean, like one of the bullet points in the vision was team, not me.
Yeah,
something like that. In the 49ers, that was a me play.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard Deepak's and Michael's comments there. I definitely agree with that bit about the coaching, because I think that's completely underpins that. That really, really shows that. But I do actually think that our defense isn't that all bad, if I'm being brutally honest. I mean, I think, you know, we are getting pressure on the quarterback. We are getting, which is also helping, because, like, I think our secondary is one of the best performing secondaries in the league this year, due to a number of pass breakups and interceptions and the like. And that comes from the pressure that's generated at the front. Mm-hmm. You don't get one without the other. So I think it is there. Can it be improved? Can it get better? Well, I think we've just demonstrated that there's a lot of learning to be done in a short space of time.
The six penalties last week could have hurt us badly.
Ambry Thomas is a naughty boy.
Well, you know, that just wasn't smart, because really what happened there, that pass, that ball was underthrown. So the receiver reacted to it and slowed down, and he just ran into him and didn't react to the ball.
That discipline problem is on the head coach and on the coordinators. We have that problem since 2019. I mean, that lack of discipline cost us the Super Bowl, because the defense started dancing on the sidelines with 10 minutes left in the game instead of focusing on the next time they get on the field. And that's a problem, and that's something Shanahan has to address in the offseason, because the discipline is our greatest opponent. Are we our own players?
We didn't talk about penalties last week, did we? That's the one thing we didn't talk about. And I said at the end of the podcast, the one thing we haven't mentioned is penalties. And I was sitting watching that game, and I kept saying the word penalty over and over again. And my missus and my mate was here with me as well. He was like, what are you on about? I was like, it doesn't matter. He's going crazy in the corner. He's again out there.
It's 3rd and 21, and he steps back to heave a Hail Mary. You know he's looking for a pass interference. Oldest trick in the book.
And it is exactly.
And that's what he was playing for. And he got it. And I think they should change the rules and make it like college, where it's a 15-yard penalty from the line of scrimmage. Rather than spotting. That was a 51-yard penalty on Ambry Thomas.
Yeah.
That's harsh. Yeah, I mean, it was stupid, but it wasn't 51 yards worth of punishment stupid.
And not only the penalty, in the play after that, he slips away because he hasn't a good shoes on. And sorry, it's our home field. Our players should know what shoes to wear on our home field. I mean, Becky said it when we were going live after the game.
Yes.
She said it, that in Candlestick, the players, the home players, exactly knew what shoe to wear, and sometimes in Levi they don't. Yeah.
It was a bit of a farce, wasn't it? Gibson slipped on their first touchdown score as well. Number 31, Gibson slipped. It was a bit comical, but I wasn't laughing very much.
Also, Brock Purdy with the glove, he just wasn't getting a feel of the weapon. Yeah. Ball, so he struggled with that.
That is, but have you not noticed the majority of Purdy's bad games come when it's in wet conditions?
Yeah, because it's bad weather for them too, but it affected him more than it did Jordan Love. Yeah. And,
let's be honest, we play in Santa Clara. We don't get a lot of bad weather in Santa Clara. Yeah. We don't get it like we did in Candlestick, where, you know, the fog comes in and you're drenched in water, you know?
Yeah. Make him spend the off season in Manchester. It rains every bloody day. All day long.
Brilliant.
The fears I have in defense is also the tackling. Sometimes the player tackle like they play in amateur leagues in Germany or Great Britain, and not like they play in the best league in the world. The tackling is sometimes really bad. And come on, let's talk about that offense line. Without Trent, Purdy would be constantly running, and he is constantly running, even with Trent. And that could kill us on Sunday, our offensive line. The pocket collapses faster than I can say collapse.
But he still made that brilliant throw to Kittle for the touchdown when he spilled out to the right.
He did.
That's the difference between him and the last quarterback for me.
And in the final drive to that Connolly.
Chris Connolly,
I've never heard of that guy.
Like, I know, who was that?
He's been in the league for 10 years.
The guy who... he was the guy who dropped the important pass in the game against the Rams in the final game of the season. Who dropped that important pass? That was Connolly.
Okay.
But also, let's just anchor it back. We did this literally without Deebo Samuel as well. So one of our most powerful, potent players was off. Our game was off. Everything was off. The weather was against us. Well, it was for them too, but they fared better than we did, and we still came out with a win. Yeah. You know, and I think that's a sign of a good team that can play badly and win.
And as you said, Deepak, that's exactly right. We kept the game close, and the games that we've lost this season, going into the fourth quarter, we weren't down by 7 points. It was a lot more than that, you know. And you know, fortunately, they had a rookie kicker and missed. You know, that was very, very key.
Yeah.
The concussion.
That's kind of like the reasons why we love this game, because that sort of thing can happen. Mm. You know, we've seen it happen so many times before. I think it'll be a different story because the weather will be helpful. I think it'll be a different story in terms of the game script on Sunday. I also think that, they've got Hutchinson on the defensive line, but I think we performed well. Enough time on the offensive line to get for Purdy to do what he's been able to do. And I know a lot of them is down to timing routes, getting the ball out quickly, getting the ball out in space. But that's what works. Mm. So that's then on your receivers to get open.
But for me, that was absolutely the turning point of the game when their kicker missed the field goal. That was our sort of last lifeline.
And ours didn't. I think ours didn't from 52 yards. So,
right.
Ours did too, but I mean, the one he missed, the one that got blocked.
Yeah, it wasn't on him, I don't think.
Wasn't going to make it.
Sorry, but I still think there should have been a penalty flag, because you're not allowed to use your opponent to put your hire, and the D-line man who blocked the field goal, who used our offense lineman to push himself higher. And that's not allowed. There should have been a flag, and the referee screwed that up. Yeah,
that's a good spot, Michael.
I actually thought on that game there, and I generally like games when when the officials don't call everything. And I thought they let a lot go. in that game, which makes better viewing because there's nothing worse than
only when you win.
But there's nothing worse to even watch is if you're penalty after penalty. And they can, let's be honest, they could do that on every single play. You're going to win in that scenario. You're going to win some. You're going to lose some.
And I was a ref in Germany, and I'm a German. I don't like it when you don't follow the rules.
No, but I think there's you can take it to a different extent. I'm still bitter about the 2014 NFC Championship game against Seattle, where so many inexplicable non-calls and wrong calls were made, and I'm like, my goodness, we are at the mercy of these people who throw these flags here. Because it doesn't matter what we do on the field, if they don't like it, it's coming back.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, I think they called the obvious ones, like the Ambry Thomas thing, because he was there so obvious, early. Yeah. You get it.
Even and he's always all over the receiver he's covering. I mean, there isn't an inch of that receiver he hasn't touched.
Ambry Thomas is the new Johnson.
Yeah. For me, if it was our team and that happened to us, we'd be screaming for the penalty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'd be screaming for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was. It clearly was.
Yes.
I think he needs to be a little, in that scenario, needs to be a tad smarter because it was so fairly obvious.
I think he'll play with something to prove on Sunday. I think we're going to see a different Ambry Thomas because he was improving quite a bit up until that game. He sort of just fell apart.
Yeah,
I think we'll see a different Ambry Thomas. I think we'll see the same Drake Greenlaw, lights out, phenomenal player, but a real hothead who equally get you into trouble as well as get you out.
Joya Brown's back on Sunday as well, which will help Ambry Thomas out tremendously. They didn't play him last week.
Yeah,
I mean it's risky strategy, like Graham says. You know, we've got a game this week, but I think he could have played last week, and they didn't because they want him ready for this week. So that'll help. Joya Brown has been brilliant since he came in for Hufanga. So,
thank goodness.
I'm glad you mentioned Hufanga because I think how good would be if he hadn't got.
Did you see him celebrate?
Oh my god! I know. So
I didn't see that. I saw him arrive on crutches.
Yeah.
I didn't see him celebrating. I'll find the video.
It's hilarious. He's got one crutch up and he's, you know, like, look.
Team chemistry is right. How they interact with each other, how they are as a family, as looking out for one another. That part to me looks perfect. It's what a Super Bowl winning team should have. Yeah. My only concern right now is just a little bit of discipline, I think. But we've always had people. He's never been a disciplinarian. He never has, and he never will be if he's not by now. So I think we just have to let that go. But I think in terms of mindset and mentality and attitude towards this, I think we're there. We've got the talent. We've got the players. We've got the skill. And we've got the will, too, because they didn't want to lose that game, even though they didn't show up. They weren't going to let that one go either. I think we're going to be okay on Sunday.
Well, the one thing for me for Sunday is like I thought Green Bay had far too many big explosive running plays, and I think you know like Detroit have got a good 1-2 running punch, and I as long as we stop that and contain that, I think I'll be
there's
happy.
There's a couple of wide open receivers as well. The Packers had. I mean, you are going to think. I have to remind myself this after the game that there's so many plays in a game that is going to happen. It doesn't stop me from losing my cool when it does happen, especially because do it. I mean, there was Ayuk was wide open. Jennings, third in Jennings, massive shout out to him. How much does he step up when needed? Honestly, credit that the guy and the catch that he, I mean, it wasn't quite the catch, but it was reminiscent in body shape because he's a big-bodied receiver. But that guy steps up so much, and it's useful to have players like that because we lost Debo in that game, and you know, due to the game, the way it's played, there are going to be plays and snaps that we're going to have to you know, swapping players. We can't have Debo and Ayuk in every snap.
And another thing we have to remember is that the other team have people that get paid to. They are, you know, they and that's always the an opponent in an NFL game is always going to get have a big play every now and then. Because somebody will just make a play. It happens. It's the game. It's the game we love. It's the reason why we love it. And so it can be frustrating because you can be very self-critical, but you've also got to understand, like, you know, they're there too. But I still think we should beat the Lions on Saturday. Sunday.
This is the game last Saturday is the game we needed. It was the win we needed. Ugly, scrappy, fought through it. We got the win. We're moving on to the NFC Championship game. I can't wait for Sunday.
And at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Plus, what a lot of fans are ignoring is we had our starter had a 3-week bye, basically, and they came in red hot, just pouncing the Cowboys. And sorry, the 48-33 is misleading because 16 points came in garbage time. So they really destroyed the Cowboys. They had a high. And of course, they were playing super against us. And I expected that. And I expect that Detroit will have a high as well because it's the first time since 30 years since they reached a conference championship.
Yeah,
that's why I hope that, first of all, the Aaron Rodgers prophecies come to life, where it says where he said you can see in the colors of the logo of the Super Bowl which teams are participating.
At least conspiracy.
Yeah, he really said that. He really said
here
that.
We go.
And it's purple and red, so there are only one team with purple and one team
with
red.
Of the ship too, though. Yeah. That guy's a lunatic. Yeah.
But the funny thing is, he bases his prophecy on the fact that the last 3 years, both teams that were in the final were represented on the logo as well. And one thing, always, that's the funny thing, but always the team with less color on the logo won. And there's less red than purple.
And the NFL script, the NFL scripted, oh, guys. The NFL scripted. So there we go. Job done.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. It is, but actually.
But what I wanted to say, I hope that a German proverb is coming to terms. In Germany, we say "Alle guten Dinge sind drei." Good things come in three, and it's our third conference final in 3 years. So.
No,
it
should
be
out of
time. Oh,
I hope so, but you still got to go earn it. You still got to go do it.
Yeah,
still do. And
nothing's given.
That's for sure.
I find myself looking beyond Sunday because I am absolutely convinced we will win. But what happens on the Super Bowl itself? It's I just really want to beat the Chiefs, but I hate both of those two teams. I despise Baltimore for what they did to the Colts, the Cleveland Browns, and all that stuff. Long before we played them in a Super Bowl, I've hated them for what they've done.
We owe both of them a loss in the Super Bowl. So I'll take either one.
And that's the thing is, though, we know that if we were to win on Saturday, we are going to face one of the two teams, the only one of the two teams that have ever beaten us in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. It's ironic. That we will be facing someone that's already beaten us once. But it was a while ago. We're a different team. We're better.
Even if it is Baltimore, I hope it's Baltimore, because due to the pounding they gave us in the regular season, they may underestimate us because they think they have our number.
Yep.
And that could be a factor for us, while the last game against Kansas City is over a year ago. I really hope it's Baltimore.
I want it to be KC, actually. I want the Chiefs.
I don't want either of them. I can't stand either of them. I called the Chiefs getting to this far. And, you know, everybody said,
especially after
I didn't think so either.
I didn't think they were.
Especially okay. after seeing Jim Harbaugh wearing a Ravens hat.
Really upset me that
old Raven. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, what about Kelsey?
The guy's a sociopath. It shouldn't surprise anybody.
I love James. You insane. Live I'm a big fan.
He's interviewing with San Diego again today.
But you know, Kansas City were very close to not winning.
Yes.
Buffalo gave them a game, you know, a real game. Nobody talks about that, do they? The Buffalo gave them a game. Yeah, Green Bay gave us a game. It's on every, oh my God, the Niners are crap. The quarterback stinks. No one's saying that about Mahomes, are they? It's a really bad agenda the media's got, and I think they're going to eat an S-burger with everything on it.
Yeah, I hope so.
There was a reason for that. No one actually watched the Bills Chiefs game because everyone looked at Jason Kelce partying with the fans.
And Taylor Swift. That's all I saw. Yeah. Jason Kelce half naked and Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
I'd have preferred it the other way around.
But he partied with both. He partied with Kansas City fans and he partied with Bills fans. He even jumped out of the window and took a girl who wanted a picture with Taylor Swift and he put her to the window.
I do like him.
Meanwhile, his wife was yelling at him to get his butt back in.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, so are we ready for Sunday?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Well, is there any? Did we cover it all?
What are we going to win? How many points?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a discussion that we need to have, actually. Just how confident are we that we will win?
49ers.
I actually think it could be another really tight game, to be honest. I don't think it would be a big blowout. As much as I'd like it to be, I just don't think it would be I think we will edge it though. I think we know how to win now in pretty much any circumstance.
I just hope it doesn't come down to a game-winning field goal.
Field goal? Yeah, that was my fear.
That would be
We're trying really hard not to swear on this one. This cat's back.
I say it's 49ers win.
Yeah.
Win by what? Sorry, Michael, what did you say?
By 49ers win by
a field goal.
By a field goal.
I mean, I can see that, but I would rather the field goal have happened earlier in the game.
Definitely.
I think we're going to win by two scores. I think the trajectory is going to skyrocket Sunday. I think we're going to have a handsome win. And we will take that with us into Las Vegas. I think this is how this team will peak. It's got the punch on the nose that it wanted. And I think it's ready to play and ready to take care of business. I honestly do think it'll be a two-score win. Detroit, they're gone about Green Bay. Where we weren't meant to be there. We weren't meant to be this. Actually, Detroit has the right to say they're not meant to be there because Green Bay has a pedigree. Detroit hasn't won an NFL championship since the pre-merger in the 50s, you know. Mm-hmm. So really, it's Detroit that have got nothing to lose and are playing with house money. You know, they may not have a young team, but they're a very, very well-coached team and they have a great deal of belief in one another. But this is all new to them. This is our third NFC championship game in 4 years. We've got experience. We've got players like Trent who he might be coming back next year.
Yeah.
But he's playing for a ring. And all of these guys are playing for silverware. You know, it's something that we've been playing for long before Detroit became good. And for that reason, I think the errors will be corrected for Sunday. I think it'll be a convincing win and it'll set us up nicely for whoever in Las Vegas.
So this is the stat that came out this week that did surprise me, and I didn't know that this is in the Super Bowl era. This is our 17th championship game, which is a record.
Mm. But
then that means that we've got a losing record in these things because you know that means that we've lost 9 of them so far.
Yep,
because we've only been to 7 Super Bowls, which is, in a way it's good because it shows you're challenging, but it shows that it's not just because you're in the championship game. There's a lot at stake, and absolutely anything can happen. And yeah. I'm quite sure, because I do go back to the game against the Rams a couple of years ago quite a lot. You know, it's like we should a game we coulda, woulda, shoulda, yeah. and we didn't. And I think we're a better team now.
We are.
I hope we're a better team. The only thing pennies dropped for me today, I'm talking with Deepak about how undisciplined some of our players actually are, which I hope doesn't actually let us down.
Even Trent lost his call, which surprised me. It was.
That's funny.
If we again lose the championship game, that could even be the end for the Kyle Shanahan era.
Definitely not.
Jed wants to see the Super Bowl.
No, I see Jed has the kind of relationship that Jed in the front office have with Kyle and John.
Michael just wants Shanahan back, don't you?
I know, right?
I love Shanahan. It's not that I want him gone, but you're in this league to win the Lombardi Trophy and not to lose the semifinals, which the championships games are, the semifinals.
But you have to take a step back and, like, what is success? You're right, Michael. Everybody, that is the target.
Yeah.
But only one team can do it out of 32, right? And then if you are in consistently in the upper quartile or more than the top four teams out of 32 leagues, I'll take that competitiveness because a lot of things can come down to in a game, come down to a ref decision, a bad play, one simple miss, flipping dropped interception by bloody Jet Jaquaski Tart or whoever it was. Do you know what I mean? Anything can happen, but you've got to be there. You can't do the first thing without being there. So as long as you're there, that's it for me. You know,
our challenge window is closing slowly too, like with the Bills. I mean. We have to either let go Ayuk or have to give in a big contract as well. Then some of the other players, I think Kittle, for example, are already due again. So
George ain't going nowhere, Michael. I'm not entertaining that.
Well, going back to what you said about Shanahan, will he go if we don't win? Look at it from a couple of perspectives. Supposing we win the Super Bowl by a point and we're inheriting the nucleus of the same side, we'll be odds on to repeat, despite the Super Bowl curse of never repeating, though we have in our history repeated. If we win by 1 point in Las Vegas, oh, these guys are hot, they're going to win the Super Bowl again, or they're going to be there or thereabouts. If we lose by 1 point and we ditch the coach, well, there goes that thing about inheriting a nucleus of a steady team, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
It would be insane to release Shanahan if we were to lose.
Absolutely. He and John Lynch have built a culture in that locker room where it's the team and it's all about the team. And we see what happens when they get individualistic and forget that, you know, no, I come second. I don't see that happening. We'd be right back to rebuilding again.
We would literally be back to being Cleveland.
It would be a fire sale as well. I think if Shanahan would go, we'd lose.
Exactly.
We'd lose a lot of players. Trent wouldn't come back. Trent wouldn't come back for a start.
We would.
Yep. Exactly.
Probably.
Nope.
But no, I think it would be insanity if we were to release Shanahan.
It's not going to happen. We're going to win it this year, next year, year after.
But that's true, though. The pressure on them to actually win it, it'd be a very awkward conversation they have with the York family if we don't win it. Very awkward. It's not one where they'd get fired, but it wouldn't be one that you'd want to be facing your boss and have a performance review on.
Very true.
One of those.
Someone has to say the tough things. No, just kidding.
Speaking of tough things, I think we've gone on long enough, don't you?
I can't see the timer. I'm not the host this week, so I can't see the timer.
Before we go, one fun fact. We are facing a German U19 national player on Sunday.
Oh, very cool.
Maybe you can guess who it is.
Wow. We'll be all day. Go on.
No idea.
Oh, of course.
Amon Ra St. Brown.
Of course, I forgot.
Oh.
Amon Ra played for the German youth national teams.
Nice.
I forgot about that. Yep.
Nice.
We've had an Australian, we've had a Brit, now we've got a actually, isn't the punter?
Yes,
Australian, isn't he?
He's Australian. It's really funny when you see him get interviewed in a locker room. And the actor, and the literally, I watch it go, oh, yeah.
His accent was proper Aussie, wasn't it? Full on.
All right, guys.
Yep.
Get that win on Sunday.
Going on.
Yep, go Niners.
Niners. Indeed.
And I'm stopping.